Hello and welcome back to The Healthy Sensitive. This is Leah, your hostess on the show. And last time I had done what I would say is an overview of the importance of or the value of knowing what our sense of purpose and our sense of meaning is. And so now what I'll be doing is kind of breaking it down and going a little bit deeper into each of the sort of bullet points I captured in the last podcast episode. So for today's episode, I'm talking about motivation. There's a connection, it appears, between purpose and motivation. But actually, I should back up a little bit here. There's a difference. A lot of times people use the words meaning and purpose interchangeably. It turns out they are distinct. So meaning is about having a larger context for our life, a sense that life makes sense. Purpose is about our role. So interestingly, those who had a sense of meaning were much more resilient, much more likely to exhibit signs of post-traumatic growth when they were faced with adversity, which we'll talk about in another episode, I promise. But versus those who had purpose but no meaning, while it was still important, it was more vulnerable to stress. So that's just useful to know. A lot of times when we're talking about, okay, having purpose, what is your purpose? If you feel like you don't always know the answer to that question, number one, you're not alone. And number two, that might not necessarily mean that you wouldn't be resilient to stress. It's just that when you do have a sense of purpose, it gives you, it's more related to things like your goals, a sense of having a direction. So why would that have any like tangible benefits on motivation? Well, maybe it would be helpful to begin talking about what it is that motivates us in general. And there's a couple of ways we can start here. I'm going into the realm of the neuroscience. So I'll start with this, I guess it's called affective neuroscience. And Jacques Panskep, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, is a neuroscientist and coined the term affective neuroscience. And he found that what he called our desire to move toward something, like our curiosity, we want to seek out something new, we want to learn, called that seeking system. It's like it's a collection of neural pathways in our brain that leads us to want to seek something new. And the seeking system involves both lower and upper parts of the brain. And when we follow our seeking system, that's when is likely to release dopamine, which is a pleasure chemical linked to motivation and to reward. Okay, so right there, what that reveals to us is that when we are seeking, when we are curious, when we are moving towards something, when we have a direction, it lights up a dopamine pathway. All right, so dopamine, what is that? Now I'm going to go into the nitty-gritty. So dopamine and motivation. Dopamine is what activates our sense of motivation. So when we feel lethargic, it doesn't seem like the goal we've set for ourselves is really all that important, or to the extent it is important, it just isn't, we can't seem to get over the hump. It's like, I want it. So it's the difference between I want to do a thing versus I want to do the thing. So if you kind of know what it is you want to do, but you don't feel like you have the motivation, there are, I guess you could call them hacks that are known to help increase the likelihood that you will produce dopamine. Examples of that include viewing early morning sunlight, eating tyrosine-rich foods, avoiding melatonin supplements. And this is going to break the hearts of so many of my fellow HSPs, as I know many of us struggle with sleep. And a lot of people I know take a lot of melatonin, so, or at least some. One of my clients that I'm working with right now mentioned, we were going through some of the challenges she was facing. And I said, well, what supplements are you taking? And she said, oh, melatonin. And then she mentioned it was 10 milligrams a night. And I went, ooh, that is very high. So to give you a context, if I ever take melatonin, it's like 0.25 to 0.5 milligrams, just saying. So avoiding melatonin supplements, unless you're trying to recover from jet lag. And then avoid viewing bright lights between 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. Super essential, as it is shown to activate a brain region called the habenula. I never pronounce that right. But basically, that reduces the amount of circulating dopamine in our system. So when you're having bright lights on late at night, that becomes a problem. So, and then finally, you can ingest caffeine. So caffeine can be helpful in initiating a dopamine kick, or at least making our receptors more sensitive to dopamine. But when you do caffeine, you want it to be from the 100 to 400 milligram range. So that's like, you know, maybe 1 to 2 cups of coffee, a couple of cups of green tea. So we're not talking about a whole pot of the caffeine mug, which highly sensitive people need to be a little bit more discerning about, because we tend to be much more sensitive to the effects of caffeine. And remember too, caffeine has a half-life of about 12 hours. So if you ingest caffeine and if you're having problems with sleep, removing caffeine can be very helpful. But if you're not having any challenges with sleep and you're really wanting to get yourself going, a little bit of caffeine, if used strategically and with discernment, can be very helpful. So then, all of that being said, those are sort of some hacks in general that can increase dopamine. But what's interesting is that there seems to be a connection between our ability to produce dopamine and a sense of having a life purpose. But now we're getting into this like airy fair. It's very nebulous, because how do you define a life purpose? Who's getting to make the, you know, set the definition? Why is it helpful? So there's a number of people who have tried to kind of pull this apart more. I guess it's best to say that motivation and emotions are linked. And when we have a sense of purpose, that activates certain emotions in us. And those emotions can elicit a dopamine response and increase our motivation. That's the easiest way to say it. Okay. But then how do I find my purpose? Like, okay, great. It's good for motivation. That's helpful-ish to know. But how do I find it? So Joshua Friedman wrote an article on this, and he actually talks about this idea that there are myths about purpose, and there are the Mythbusters. So one myth is your purpose is something out there, and you're going to have to find it. It's waiting to be discovered. And what he argues is, no, you don't find it, you make it. So one place you can start with is asking, what am I good at? What are the things that come a little bit easier to me than perhaps to others? And how do I really lean into that skill? You might call it staying in your zone of genius. You might call it like engaging in the thing that makes you come alive. So you know how much I love that quote by Howard Thurman. I use it all the time. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive, and then go do that. Because that's what the world needs, is more people who have come alive. The thing that makes you come alive is likely linked to your purpose. But once you have that sense, it's not like, okay, I'm good at a thing, I know, ding, I'm done now. It's no, that's the starting point. Now you're going to work your butt off in that area, and you're going to get better and better and better at it. And that's what makes us feel like we have mastery. And that mastery gives us a sense of having purpose. Your purpose is another myth. Your purpose is fully formed and neatly packaged. Not so much. Purpose can be felt, but it's not necessarily fully formed. It's more about leaning into, well, what is it that I'm feeling, and how can those emotions and sensations give me clues to my sense of purpose? So, for example, look at the things that make you angry. What is that trying to tell you? One person I know just gets infuriated anytime we have a conversation about homelessness. Okay, well, anger is an emotion that is activated when we feel like there is a threat or there's something that we need to protect. There's some kind of boundary getting crossed. There's some sense that there's been an injustice. So if you're getting angry about something, that's a good indicator to you that it means something to you. So now we're meaning versus purpose. So if you know what it is that means something to you, that might be a clue as to what your purpose may be. Because the question may just become, well, if I know that I'm passionate about homelessness and that it gets me just really angry, how might I be a part of the solution? And then the third myth is discovering purpose makes everything easy. No. Discovering your purpose is the very first step. So once you have a sense of what your purpose is, my purpose is to help alleviate suffering in the homeless population. Good for you. Now you get the fun job of figuring out just how you want to contribute. So purpose is based on long-term goals, and it's based on connection. It's not often the case that the thing that we feel is our purpose is linked solely to our own pleasure. It can be linked to pleasure, but it's often linked with connection. And this, you know, some people might say, well, what if your purpose is to write? Writing is a solitary endeavor. Not necessarily. Perhaps the writing itself is solitary, but how do you get the content to write about? You have to go out into the world. You have to understand people. You might even go to writing clubs. Even writers will get together and there are communities like Shut Up and Write, where people will come together. They'll set a timer. They will write in their own space for a period of time. And yet there's something about being together that brings more of a sense of like a surge of energy around it. So if you're wanting to increase your ability to connect with your purpose, these are some things to consider. What are the things that you're just good at? What are the things that when people say, wow, you're really good at this, you laugh it off and you say, yeah, but I mean, everybody is. That's usually the ding, ding, ding. That's your zone of genius. We often think that the thing we're good at, it's universal. Rarely is that true. So what is something that you're good at? What is it that you can think of that people have given you feedback about you being good at? Next thing you might consider, when was the last time you experienced a really profound, intense emotion? Maybe it was watching a movie. Perhaps it was conversation with a friend. Maybe it was connecting with an animal. When is the last time you felt something intense? It could have been intensely positive, could have been intensely negative. That might give you some clues about just how powerful, because, you know, our motivation is often linked with our emotions. And then this final one is, what are some long-term goals that you can think of that are almost so big that they're scary? I would love to do blank, but I'm a little scared too. And how might you link that to having more connection? Just some things to ponder for yourself, because especially when all of these things come together, that's when you're most likely to kind of see the motivation within you get activated. Now, just to give a little bit more background too, motivation, it turns out, because this was a curiosity point from Daniel Pink. He wanted to understand what it is that drives people at work. And that's why he wrote a book called Drive. And what he discovered is that, I mean, unless the job that you have is very, I don't want to say simple in a derogatory way, but doesn't require critical thinking. So if your job, for example, is to just to stamp widgets, that's not going to require critical thinking. It does require muscle memory. It requires kind of rhythm. It's still very challenging, perhaps, but it's not asking your brain to be creative. It's asking your whole system to be efficient at a very specific task. What he, Daniel Pink, wanted to know is, what is it that makes those folks who are in roles that require more critical thinking, what is it that drives them? And what is it that makes them the most productive? And he found there were three things: autonomy, having some control over their schedule; mastery, feeling like they were good at the thing they were doing; and purpose. You can start to see now where, okay, well, if it's how mastery and purpose might be connected, for example. So if you know there's something you're good at and you get to refine it, that can kind of give you insight to what your purpose is. But purpose is also about feeling as though the thing you're doing is contributing to a larger whole. Even if that contribution is simply, I'm activating my own joy and therefore getting out of everyone else's way. So, and in terms of how all of this fits together with, you know, like if you're interested in going deeper into some of this research, for example, let's say the tidbits I was sharing about dopamine. You're like, whoa, that's a lot of stuff. Hold on, slow down. Let me write that down. I'm going to put in the show notes a link that a lot of that information was coming from Andrew Huberman from Huberman Labs. If you're interested in doing a deeper dive into Daniel Pink's work, I've put some links in for a couple of TED Talks, a podcast, as well as a link for his book. If you're interested in the connection between kind of the myths and the reality, a lot of that work came from Joshua Friedman. I'm putting a link to his work. I'm also going to put in what's called a purpose checkup This was crafted by people in the blue zones. I'll be talking about this area a little bit more when I dive deeper into the connection between purpose and longevity. But if you just want to get a sense, where am I starting from? To what extent do I feel like I am living a purposeful life right now? There's a marvelous, it's a questionnaire. It was put together by researchers for blue zones. And for those who don't know, blue zones are those areas where people are regularly living to their like 100th year and beyond. So worth checking out, because if you want to live to your 100th year and beyond and feel like, yeah, I've not just surviving that long, but really living, highly, highly recommend that you reach, like, kind of take a look at some of that research. And again, I will be diving deeper into that content when I talk about purpose and longevity. But I want to end here with, now this work is coming from Daniel Goleman, where it, basically what he wrote is, Daniel Goleman wrote, "We humans are wired to be simultaneously driven towards something and pulled to it. Whether we call it inspiration or motivation, working with our innate desire to explore, understand, and make meaning is a clear way to think about igniting joy and the sense of purpose that comes with it." So I do want to say too, purpose and motivation is different than inspiration. This is now Wayne Dyer who talked about this. There's a difference, he said, between being motivated and being inspired. Motivation is when you have grabbed a hold of a goal in it that is so important to you, and you don't care how heavy it is, you are happy to drag that thing across the finish line, even if it takes everything out of you to do it. You are motivated. Inspiration is when something hooks you and pulls you across the finish line. So inspiration is that thing that when a light bulb goes off and you go, ding, I am inspired. Inspiration is when you're listening to someone speak and you find yourself mesmerized. My God, you think to yourself, this person has just changed my life. Perhaps you heard someone speak at a TED Talk, or perhaps you heard a leader rally a crowd to do something positive for their community. And you think, now that is extraordinary. So it's good to know the difference between inspiration and motivation. Inspiration is when it is often passive. It gets ignited within us, but it's not often that we can just conjure up inspiration. There's no life hack for feeling inspired, other than perhaps making sure that we are well rested and connected and like kind of juiced up so that we're more available for that sensation to kick in. But what I was talking about mostly today is motivation, because as a coach, that's the thing so many of my clients come to me about, and in frustration, I'll say, like, I know what I want to do, but I'm just not doing it. Why? Well, maybe some question to ponder for yourself is, well, to what extent is the thing you're trying to do linked with your purpose? And if you don't know what your purpose is, how might you go about exploring it? Not from a place of hurry up, got to figure it out, but more from a place of just, huh, what am I really good at? How could I cultivate that more deeply? How could I go about working hard in something and allow that to take me? Which is, and I know I quote Elizabeth Gilbert a ton, but it's why I was so enamored with her insight with regard to, you know, maybe not having to follow your passion, because lots of people talk about, you know, really intense emotions and passion, follow your passion. Well, that's not always available. And so she instead asked, well, what are you curious about? What's something that intrigues you? What's something that kind of tugs at you a little bit? Because that now kind of goes, circles back to that affective neuroscience, where again, the seeker pathways. And again, these are just names that, you know, neuroscientists coined. But if you want to elicit a seeking mind and activate those seeker pathways, that's likely going to initiate a dopamine response. So don't feel like you have to have passion. If you have it, kudos. But if you don't have it, that's okay. All right. So I think that's enough for today. Lastly, while I just want to put that out there, if you are interested in diving more deeply into this, there are workshops that I host where you get an opportunity to connect with other people in real time. You can find us at my Healthy Sensitive Meetup. You can also go to our online community, The link for that, all of these things are going to be in the show notes. And finally, if you would like to take advantage of, you know, anytime someone's interested in coaching with me, I always offer a complimentary session. And you're welcome to go to my calendar and just, you know, select the, you know, a 60-minute session. I always do a complimentary, again, 60-minute session. And the link for that on my calendar, it will also be in the show notes. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. I so appreciate you. You got through it. And next time I'll be diving in more deeply to the link between purpose and like mental health and resiliency. So I'm very excited. Stay tuned. Bye-bye.